This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast on Wednesday, the 6th of May, 2020. On the podcast today, Tim Watts, Chief Executive Officer of Shield Therapeutics, provides a business and trading update. Also on the podcast, Mike Ralston, CEO of Blanco Resources. That's BRES ticker there. And Mike talks about the restarting of their drill program at the Orem Cross Graphite Project in Uganda. Plus, John Mayer, mining analyst and partner at SP Angel, talks about commodities in the markets, plus mentions news from Bushveld Minerals and Cora Gold. And as always, I have two lists for you, the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs too. By the way, you can see both these lists, top 10 visions of these lists at voxmarkets.co.uk. We can also see our COVID-19 index. Check this out, 28 companies that are well placed to trade strongly through this downturn, or actually could benefit from it, from the lockdown, or from what they're doing with their business. Check that out at voxmarkets.co.uk.
To receive free company updates straight to the front screen of your smartphone whenever a company you follow releases significant news, download the free Vox Markets app from voxmarkets.co.uk/app.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Tim Watts, Chief Executive Officer of Shield Therapeutics. STX is the ticker there. Tim, thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Justin. Good morning.
Yeah, and you've done quite a detailed business and trading update in an RNS recently, and we'll dig into that in a bit. Before we do, as always, if someone's listening right now and not familiar with the company, could you just summarise what it's about, please, Tim?
Yes, Shield is a company that over the years has developed a pharmaceutical product called Feraccru, or Accrufer in the US, which is a treatment for iron deficiency. It's currently approved for the treatment of iron deficiency in adults in both Europe and the US. And through a partner, we're seeking approval in China as well. And iron deficiency is a very widespread ailment that people suffer alongside usually a variety of different illnesses and so on. So it has potentially very, very significant sales potential.
Yeah, okay, absolutely. And let's get into the business and trading update. You know, a very comprehensive update here, ranging from geographies to the coronavirus pandemic. So take us into it, Tim. What's happening at the moment?
Okay, well, we wanted to put out a business update because we were conscious of the fact that the last one we put out was in January, and for various reasons, it's going to be another few weeks before our annual report for 2019 comes out, so that perhaps there's been a little bit of a gap. And, of course, with coronavirus going on, people don't really know what's going on in businesses. So we wanted to reassure investors that we've been able to operate pretty effectively since the UK lockdown started. Yes, we've shut down our London and Newcastle offices during the pandemic, but as an organization that operates largely on a virtual basis, we've been able to continue working from home pretty successfully. And we're finding that the businesses that we work with are also operating well. So, right now, we haven't seen a huge amount of disruption. Moving on then into into the sort of main business issues, obviously a key one is around US commercialization, where we've been saying for some time that we're seeking a commercialization partner for the United States. As I said, we've got approval for Accrufer in the US, And we're looking for a company that could license Agrifer from us and take it on and commercialize it in the US. And there continues to be a lot of interest from different parties in the US. And it's something we're working through. And obviously the nature of these things are you can't say too much. You can't say who you're working with. And at the end of the day, you can't actually announce where you're up to in the process until the deal is done. But as we've said in the RNS, there is continues to be a lot of interest. Mm-hmm. In Europe, the product, as I say, is approved in Europe as well. And we signed a deal with Norgine in September 2018 to commercialize the product there. They essentially launched it, the product, in the first quarter of 2019, so around a year ago, just over a year ago. And they've seen some good growth, which we've publicized in the past. And in the first quarter of 2020, they saw continued growth. And essentially at the moment, the product is in the market, on the market in Germany. And in the UK, although even in the UK, it's really only in England, because many of the other countries in Europe and the other countries in the United Kingdom require people to go through pricing and reimbursement and negotiations, and those are underway or beginning in those other countries. So it's primarily Germany and UK, but Norgine saw continued growth in the first quarter of 2020. But of course, that's around when coronavirus started to impact, and it's really too early to say whether or how sales of Ferrocru will be impacted by the coronavirus. There's two ways you can look at it. I mean, one, you could be pessimistic and say, well, Norgine won't be able to promote the product, and therefore sales will stagnate. The other way you could look at it is say one of the products we're competing against, or one of the treatments we're competing against, is the intravenous treatment of iron deficiency, where patients have to go into a clinic or a hospital to be treated. Mm-hmm. Whereas with Ferrocru, it's simply a capsule which you take at home two times a day. So there is a school of thought which says patients perhaps will become much more reluctant to go into a hospital or clinic setting to be treated, and would far rather take an effective iron therapy which can be just taken orally at home, so that, which would be advantageous for Ferrocru. So, as I say, it's really too early to say, and there are some pros and cons as to, you know, what the situation is at the moment. There's a piece in our RNS about supply chain. I won't go into that in any great detail, other than really to say that both the manufacturer of our bulk ferric maltol, which we manufacture in the UK, or a third party manufactures for us in the UK, and similarly the finished packs, which get made in a site in France, they are both continuing to work, and we're currently manufacturing quite a large amount of the active ingredient, the bulk drug, ferric maltol. We had this schedule for some time, and we've actually taken the opportunity to increase the volume that's being manufactured a little bit, really as a defensive matter as much as anything, just in case supply of raw materials becomes more difficult, or our bulk manufacturer had to close down for any reason. So we, by the end of this campaign, which should be around August, September time, we should have plenty of the bulk ferric maltol to last us for a long time, which I think places us in a good position. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Readers will recall that in January we announced that we had signed a deal with a Chinese company called ASK Pharma, and they're going to commercialize the product for us in China, but they have to get the product finally approved by the Chinese regulators. Of course, they went into lockdown before we did. We did the deal in January, pretty just before they got locked down. But actually, we found that they were able to work from home pretty effectively as well, and they're back at work now. So our work in terms of bringing them up to speed with all the technical support that we needed to give them, you know, has continued. So you know, so far so good on that front. In March, we provided some clarification about our head-to-head study, which we announced initially in March 2019. And what we clarified there was that the formal study required us to demonstrate non-inferiority against intravenous treatment in the two populations that were being analyzed. There's an intention to treat population, which is everybody who enters the study, whether or not they finished the study, whether they followed the protocols properly. And then there is a per protocol population, which is everybody who followed the study all the way through, but in accordance with the study design. And it's a smaller population, obviously, because people do drop out for various reasons. And the overall formal study required both of those populations, or the analyses of both of those populations, to demonstrate non-inferiority. And what wasn't made clear in the March 19 announcement was that the intention to treat population, which is a tougher population to demonstrate effectiveness and non-inferiority, actually did not meet its endpoint. As a result of that study, we received a €2.5 million milestone from Norgine in 2019 as a result of the apparent success of the study, because we now are clearer that study did not technically meet its endpoint. We have, after various discussions with Norgine about how we might compensate them, we have agreed to repay the €2.5 million euros that we received from them originally. But despite that, our cash position is fairly robust, and we still see our cash extending out into the first quarter of 2021, which gives us plenty of time still to complete the US deal that we're working on. And as is normal with a licensing arrangement, we would expect to receive a fairly sizable upfront payment from any licensed partner, which will obviously extend our cash runway considerably as and when we do that. So I think those are probably just in the main highlights that I would like to draw people's attention to.
Yeah, and just on that, and the US partner there, is that ongoing, and that's probably, is that the next kind of biggest milestone you're hoping to achieve here?
Yeah, that clearly that is the significant piece. We, as I said, we have commercialization partners in Europe and now in China. So US is it's the biggest market in the world by some distance, and so this will be a very significant step forward for us. So that this really is the most significant thing to come in the next few months.
Excellent stuff. Okay, well, as always, Tim, if someone's listening to this, likes the sound of the progress you're making, but are not yet following the story, please give them three quick reasons in summary why they should hit that follow button on your page and add you to their watch list, please.
Well, I think first I would say it's back to the US commercialization deal. I don't think the benefit that we will get from the US market is yet sort of reflected very much, if at all, in our share price and market capitalization. So that I think there is significant potential upside there. And then I would also add that, going back to what I said right at the outset, iron deficiency is very widespread. And so there is a fantastically huge potential for the sales from this product, which over many years could be significant and could bring in a very significant income flow to Shield. And perhaps the last point relating to that is we have patent protection going out to 2035, so we've got a 14-15 year run at this, which again will add to the value of the company and the product.
Excellent stuff, Tim. Good to chat to you, and hopefully we'll catch up in the not too distant future. Thanks very much.
Okay, thank you very much, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Mike Ralston, CEO of Blenco Resources. BRES is the ticker there. Mike, thanks for joining me again.
Thanks very much for having me.
Now, you're new to the market, and so we'll get into some news. You've always already, I mean, the share price is rising already, which is good news, and you're hitting the ground running. You've got a drill program to restart, and we'll dig into that in a bit. Before we do, Mike, just for people not familiar, just give us a summary. Blenco Resources, what is it all about, please?
So Blenco Resources relisted back on the LSE approximately 2 weeks ago. We've got the Orem Cross Graphite Project, which is one of the largest graphite deposits in the world. It's out in Uganda in Africa. It's a huge deposit, very high grade graphite, very low strip ratio because it's all at surface, and it's got plenty of good features around it which make it a standout in terms of both the location and the project. So we are advancing that project through a drilling campaign at the moment, metallurgical studies to get to a feasibility study and ultimately a decision to mine.
Yeah, exactly. So take us through. So you say, I mean, things have been put on hold a little bit, haven't they, in Cuba, but now they're restarting. Is that the case?
That's the case. Like most of the world, Uganda went into a lockdown late March. In fact, I was there in March just before it happened. And they obviously wanted to put a lid on it, close borders, etc. And the drilling campaign that we had started in March had to stop temporarily while everyone basically went and sat in their homes and watched what's going on. They haven't really had a very big outbreak of COVID-19 in Uganda, which is good. Mm-hmm. And that has allowed a few of the restrictions to be lifted, not all of them, but certainly enough for us to apply for an exemption in terms of moving people around and to look to restart the Orem Cross drilling program, which I think we were in to hold 15 out of 59 when it stopped. So we obviously want to get back there and finish it off as quickly as we can.
Yeah. And so what's going to be, take us through the drill program. What do you hope to achieve with this? What are you going to get from it then, Mike?
Well, you've got this graphite deposit, as I said, one of the largest in the world, approximately 3.5 billion tons. We'll never utilize more than an absolute fraction of that because there's just so much graphite there. It's mm-hmm. about 19 kilometers long, 1.5 kilometers wide, graphite everywhere from 0 to 40-50 meters below the surface. So we've picked the area that we would most like to be mining at for the first 10 years. Mm-hmm. And we've picked that area because it's good in terms of infrastructure, in terms of location, in terms of the actual graphite there, et cetera, et cetera. We've put a program of 1,800 meters of diamond drilling together in order to put it into a JORC indicated resource. And the idea for that is to take that particular area through a feasibility study. We've got our mining license already, so we really want to move towards a decision to mine as quickly as possible. But it all starts with drilling out the area that we propose to mine. And that's what we're doing.
Yeah. And take us through, you know, graphite, the market. What's it about at the moment? What's happening there?
Well, there's in a sense, two different types of graphite, two different parts of the market. The one is really focusing on the use of graphite in the anode in lithium-ion batteries and the potential for a large explosion in terms of demand for electric vehicles and the batteries that run them. And whilst that hasn't yet materialized in terms of the extraordinarily high numbers that people are predicting, it is definitely growing, and it's certainly likely to grow even further going forward. So there's predicted large demand for graphite. In our opinion, in the sort of 4 to 5 years ahead area, it's really going to start picking up from where we are today. And that's obviously going to be one area where we focus on part of our product being sold into in order to fulfill that demand. On the other side, for the large and jumbo flakes, there's a continuing demand for that high-quality product in the expandables market, in the flame retardant market. They have specific uses for that graphite, and that's where because they are far more rare in terms of the quality of the size of the flakes and the quality, the prices are much higher. So it's a blend of the different products into the different markets and obviously the different prices that you get for them. And both markets are growing. And really, it's all about supply and who's going to be supplying into that demand as it grows. At the moment, there are a number of different projects all over the world that can potentially supply, but a lot of them are in very high-risk locations, Madagascar, Mozambique, Tanzania, etc. And we don't believe that all of those are going to get into production. We think there are going to be various problems arising. And, you know, we'd like to position Blenco and Orem Cross as a supply chain diversification, where we're coming at this with a great project in a very low-risk location. Uganda's a great country to do business, former English protectorate, so they all speak English. The government are very proactive in terms of supporting the mining industry, and we can definitely work with them to get this project into production as quickly as possible.
Yeah, and you say as quickly as possible. Give us a timeline of hopefully, you know, events over the next, 3, 6, 12 months. Where do you hope to be with this?
Well, we've got this drilling campaign. As I say, there's another 40-odd holes to be completed. That's going to take roughly one and a half months, depending on the level of restrictions that go forward. Thereafter, we've got to get all the samples off to the labs, and we've got to ultimately get the JORC indicated resource statement put together. So I would say within the next 3 to 4 months, we'll have our JORC resource. In parallel, we're doing a further round of metallurgical test work down in South Africa, because knowing what that end product is going to look like is absolutely critical in this graphite market. And again, in that same time frame, we'd like to complete that met test work and have a very clear product specification sheet that we can take to potential offtake partners. And then we'll be ready to dive into the feasibility study for the sort of second half of the year going into the early part of next year. And beyond that, obviously, towards decision to mine.
Mm-hmm. Excellent stuff. Okay, Mike, every day on the podcast, I highlight the top 5 most followed companies. And to get on that list, someone needs to hit that follow button on your page. So in summary, give us 3 quick reasons why someone should hit that follow button on your page and add you to their watch list, please.
Well, we've got an exceptional project in a great location. That's basically going to produce a product that is in demand and is going to likely be in considerably higher demand going forward. So the project dynamics look very good. The company itself is in a very tight structure. We can see that with the exceptional rise, I think, from 6p to 8.25 at the moment over the last 2 weeks in terms of our re-entry onto the LSE. That obviously is working. And we've got a very strong management team that's kicking a lot of goals in country, in London, and everywhere at this stage. So there's a couple of good reasons for your listeners to look at.
Lovely stuff, Mike. Good to chat to you, and hopefully we'll catch up in the not-too-distant future. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your help. Thank you. Bye-bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is John Mayer, mining analyst and partner at SP Angel. You right, John?
Yes, good. Thank you.
Now, what's going on there? Do you know what I find it very odd? The market in America is rallying again. I think the S&P yesterday was close to being nearly flat on the year. I thought, what? Really? That's nuts, isn't it, when you think of it? There's nothing wrong with the economy. I mean, obviously some of those, the S&P is largely held up by the big FANG stocks, but it's just, I just find this odd that we are in a situation now where the market is pretty much overvalued, even without COVID, you know, but there we are. What's your thoughts, John?
Well, that's extraordinary. And what that says to me is there's just this wall of money that's been sitting on the sidelines waiting to go into the market. And I felt that the market was overblown at the beginning of the year anyway. But it carried on going up through January, even with the news of the coronavirus in China coming out. And we were following that really from about mid-January. And there was quite a lot of news, certainly on Twitter and other news feeds, saying how bad it was. And we, shall we say, whilst we weren't over surprised that the virus came out of China, the reality of the situation and the lockdowns that we're now all in were difficult to forecast, if you see what I mean. But the idea that the stock market in the US is back to where it was is bonkers, because clearly consumers are going to be very affected by the lockdown. Lots of people are going to have a lot less money in their pockets, and that means that retail sales are going to fall. Business confidence is probably likely to be a bit less. I mean, I think confidence will be better for construction and infrastructure type activities, because governments will naturally pump money into repairing, restoring and creating new infrastructure, because that's just a really good way of doing it.
Yeah. Do you know what? I keep saying, I did a video and people hate it when I'm a bit bearish. Some people have a go at me, but I was saying that the stock market isn't reflecting the economy, largely because we don't know what the economy is like at the moment. You know, the patient is in an induced coma. We're on life support pretty much, or we're being supported. I won't say life support. It's not a life and death situation here for most businesses. I mean, some there are, yes. But we will not know what the economy is like until we come out the back end of lockdown and we're 2 or 3 months into, you know, trying to restore the economy, because you know, we've been supported. Nothing is open at the moment. So, of course, figures are down. Everything's down. But, you know, how fast will we recover? What percentage of businesses will recover? Because some won't. and what level of unemployment will we have? We don't even know any of that yet, really, until we get those figures, which is not going to be for another month, pretty much, or 2 months, when we start to see the issues. And there'll be, let's be honest, constant bad news coming up from company. And I think then the stock market will start to reflect, you know, the economy more, do you know?
Well, you're right, and the market is very reactive at the moment in that if a company puts out a bit of news that looks negative, then yes, the market is just simply reacting negatively with its share price. And even though that news is in some cases better than we would have expected, and you say, you know, say to the company, well done, you guys are getting through this, the company share price still goes down. So it's we're in a strange trading environment, that's for sure, because, I mean, I've been looking at a few stocks this week, and in fact, I've just become fully invested in the market for the first time in many years. And
Are you fully invested, really?
Well, give or take a couple of grand, yeah.
Well, do you know what? I'm still at, literally, 66% cash. I did a video on the weekend called 3 is a Magic Number, and it's about investing in stocks and investing in tranches. So, you know, you put your first bit in, a third, maximum exposure any one stock is 9%, and you put a third in, say 3%. And literally, I'm a third in most companies. I'm a 3% in some most companies, but I'm one company a bit higher than that. But generally, I just want to see where we are. I don't know where I can't judge where we are at the moment. This market, I find it really odd, and the fact I don't know, it's an unknown to me. And I just think, I mean, even something like Halfords today, they came out with figures, and they haven't been doing too badly. And I talked about Halfords on the weekend podcast, saying this could do quite well, Halfords. They've been sold off massively anyway. They've guided this year's guidance quite good, but people are getting on bikes. You know, people are trying bikes out. They're still open. But even then, they said our trading figures are better than expected, but we're still 23% down on last year. And it's rallied by like 10, and it's rallied over the last few days very well anyway, but it's rallied today by 10% again. And they say, hang on, they're still down on last year by a quarter nearly. So things are rallying on half-decent news because there's been so much negativity out there, you know, that...
I think there's going to be a lot of pent-up demand. So bicycles are a good example. Most people won't want to really, they might want to, a lot more people will want to buy bicycles for exercise and to avoid public transport. Yeah. But equally, it's difficult to buy a bike unless you actually sit on it and feel what it's like. Otherwise, you just don't know if it's the right size, if it's really the sort of thing that you want to buy. So I think bike shops will be very, very busy once the lockdown starts to ease. And what we're seeing is bits of news, I don't know, they're leaking out of the treasury of people making them up, but suggesting that, I mean, the Sun is suggesting that we may go back to work for 4 days every 2 weeks, for example, and then we'll be working shifts, you'll split the company in half, one half will be in, and then the other half will be in, and they'll be doing four-day weeks, a bit like the old socialist government idea, with a four-day week and then 10 days back working at home. So,
it's really to lessen the sort of staff in the premises, and so you can social distance and all that stuff, do more shifts, kind of. Is that what it's all about?
Exactly, and then I think shops are going to work in a similar way, restaurants will all work in a similar way, so things will gradually reopen, and this will work okay for some businesses, but clearly revenue is going to be hugely reduced if you're in the restaurant trade. But at least it will help people get back towards a form of normality, even though everything's going to be still very difficult.
But some companies can't exist at reduced rates, you know, reduced capacity. Like, say, the airlines, for example, or even restaurants, if we can't go below 50% capacity, that's really, you know, we are only just making it, we're making a loss of 50%. So, you know, it'll be worrying because some people can't do that. Did you see, I don't laugh, Aer Lingus, did you see that flight from Ireland to London? Jam-packed, yeah. And then someone took a picture of it, and they said, oh, well, listen, the health and safety of our workers and our passengers is of utmost priority. I thought, what are you talking about? You just jam-packed the plane full of people. I mean, was this a surprise to you that everyone had booked the plane, your plane was full? I mean, did they not know the plane was full until someone took a picture? I'm sure there's a better system in place than that, surely.
certainly that sort of thing needs to be avoided. And you know, the jury's still out on if one person's got the virus and coughs on the plane, does everybody get it? It's the big question in my mind. I'm not keen to fly anywhere right now.
Yeah, it's funny that, you know, people are using masks on a plane. Pointless using masks on a plane. You're breathing in other people's oxygen anyway. Where do the air come in from? It's not coming from outside. It's just going round and round, being recycled, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, and I think there are things that they can do to recycle the air less, and if everybody's wearing masks. But then what happens when you want to have a drink or eat some food? It's there's sort of issues with everything, and I think they need the experts to look in detail at various industries and figure out what's right. And I think with restaurants, it's relatively simple, just give everybody more space in the restaurant. Well, that's great. That's how restaurants used to be many years ago, before everybody crammed lots more tables in. So we could be going back to how life was in the 70s before everything took off in the 80s.
Yeah. So before we came on, you were talking about, I mean, China's ahead of us, of course, on the lifting of the lockdown. It's getting back to normal, however normal is there. But you were talking about iron ore prices and building going on. What's happening there?
Well, it's interesting. Steel inventories in China are falling, in fact, and fallen by 5.4% in April, which was a good number. Prices of steel are going up. We're watching to see if prices of coking coal and vanadium will go up. I think coking coal has started to rise now. And I'll just have a quick look at that now. Coking coal, yes, it's up $2.50 today, which is nice. The Chinese provinces or cities are adjusting the rules to, in fact, the city of Wuhan is making more land available, effectively, for small and medium sized apartment blocks or apartments in apartment blocks. And they're also one of the provinces is offering a 50% rebate on property purchase taxes as well. And I think there'll be a lot more of this. And I think I hope the UK government might do this as well, cut stamp duty taxes as well, in order to try and restart the property market over here and help new buyers get on the ladder again. So I do think there's going to be a lot more construction. I feel very sorry for families in Wuhan who were locked down for such a long time, and no doubt where the kids are desperate to get away from their parents now and get into new flats, new properties. So I think this is part of what's going on. Whenever we see any policy in China, it's largely about, well, how do we keep the population happy and stop them from rioting and overthrowing the communist regime? Mm-hmm. And so I can see, yes, more construction, more building, which we know is very good for stimulating economic activity, and at the same time enabling more young people to get into their own places, in readiness for the next time.
Yeah, exactly. But I've seen a lot of you know, stories online and especially in New York and London, saying people who would, you know, didn't have a garden and they'd love to look forward to a garden of their family. I understand, you know, couples having a flat, but if you've got kids in a flat, it's a bit annoying, isn't it, this weather? And
it must be terrible.
Yeah, it could be that, you know, could spark the move outwards to the burbs, that kind of thing, and do well there. Yeah, but do you know what? I suppose a need to stimulate. Yeah, there must be. They've got to. Every country need to really stimulate, don't they, after this, to get the construction going and start building just everything, because otherwise I think we will be up a long-term downtrend of growth. So maybe that'll be interesting to see what happens here, because I know Trump is determined to get the economy back to open now, isn't he? And you can see he's chomping at the bit to get it open, regardless of what the science behind the virus says, I think, you know?
He's definitely going to drive things at a pace. I think some of that's going to be held back a bit by the unions, who will naturally fight to try and preserve jobs, because many companies are just going to say, right, okay, with social distancing, we will just have to employ two people where we had three before. So, and of course, they're all very conscious that consumer demand is going to take a little while to recover. But the amazing thing about America is they never stop consuming. Mm. This virus might be the first time that they really, really slow down on their consumption for many, many years. But I would still expect much consumption to recover relatively quickly. But the real issue is, well, what's the hit to everyone's incomes and earnings?
Yeah, but do you know what? Sentiment does change when you sometimes... I from day to day recently, I've been waking up. One day I've been very bearish about we're never going to recover this unless we get a vaccine, which is 12 to 18 months off. And then you get other news, like it comes out about antivirals, and you get sort of news suggesting there's more, you know, more people have caught it. Maybe we are closer to herd immunity than we think. And there is immunity proven now. Like in South Korea, they're saying if you've caught it once, you do have immunity. So, and then you've got all these tests coming out by Roche, for example, that can produce millions. And then I become more bullish then, you know? So it's amazing. And we know, as being investors in the stock market, how fast sentiment can change. You can be bearish one day and think the sky is imploding, falling in, and the next day you think it's fine, it's going to be fine, we'll be back open before the end of the year. So it can change very quickly. You'd be surprised, people say this is a new norm, staying in. You'd be surprised how fast that norm would be swept aside and we go back to the old norm, you know.
Well, this is why I've just become fully invested in the market, in that I think we've had several hits to the market now, and I think definitely we're on the road to recovery. Now, that road is going to be a rocky road and there'll be ups and downs, but if you're not in the market, you can't take advantage of the benefit. And yeah, we're going to see share prices go down in many respects before they go up again, but it's very hard to call that that bottom. And certainly if you're like me and you have to ask for permission to before you buy or sell anything, and then you have to hold it for at least a month, then you've just got to pick your point and get in there.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people have that permission thing, but it's from the missus. Yeah. The most investors, blokes, do not tell their missus at all what they're investing in. They pretend, no, I haven't invested, no. You haven't lost any money again, have you? No, I haven't touched it. I'm staying away from the stock market. There they are. You know, just spread betting away. I know what you mean. I suppose if it's such a complicated process to buy and sell, you can't just sort of scale in over sort of months and stuff. You just get in. So, John, what have you gone to? What stocks do you like? What have you bought? Can't you say?
Well, I've bought some oil stocks, and I bought some house builders, which is where I and a couple of miners. So I bought some larger stocks and some small caps, which we know and love. I'm quite happy with that selection. And yes, I think one has to be prepared to watch these things go up and down. But we had news on Monday from Bushveld Minerals, which is a good example of many things in South Africa. It got shut down for 35 days. They're now allowed to go back to work. It's very easy for them to practice social distancing as for Bushveld, as with many other mining companies, particularly where they've got open cast mining operations. Social distancing you don't have lots of people crowded together in these operations, so it's relatively easy. And I would have said they're not good environments for viruses to thrive in anyway. Yeah. So Bushveld's back to work. I think they've done phenomenally well given the crisis. They had a lot of surplus material which they sold off very fortunately in the beginning of January. Prices for vanadium have held up remarkably well. Just had a little tick back for vanadium in Western Europe, but I think I can see prices in China taking off again because there's so much secondary vanadium production has fallen out of the market. So primary producers like Bushveld are in a better position. And yeah, I don't see this as I see this is something they can weather very easily, and I see quick recovery actually.
Mm-hmm. BMN, okay, Bushveld Minerals, and I take it you've bought some of those. Only kidding. Any other news, John, about?
Well, it was Cora came out with some drilling results from one of their projects in Senegal. So, interesting small gold stock, and gold stocks are in vogue at the moment. And news actually out of China that 100 gram gold bars, which are generally used for investment, have completely sold out in many Chinese cities. So the Chinese are not only looking to buy more property, but they've certainly been putting their money into gold bars. I think maybe they don't trust the renminbi anymore, because governments are going to clearly have to print more cash in order to stimulate and reflate their economies.
Yeah, yeah. What's how much? How much are they worth then? For I'm looking on a place here called gold.co.uk. So you can buy one of those 100 gram gold bar for £4,709. What's the difference? There's another one there. It's about 25 quid more expensive, not 15 quid more expensive. Metalore. What's that? Metalore? I don't know. How can you have cheaper gold bars? Metalore is more expensive. Whatever Metalore is.
I think there are certain brands that are perhaps more popular. And if you consider the cost of a 25 pound premium on something that costs you £4,000, that's not a big difference. I mean, really, the key is the actual price of gold on the day more than anything else, because we've seen gold prices rise from, we were looking at $1,250, $1,300 gold last year. Now we're up at $1,700, and the price is looking pretty solid at these levels, and we know that there has to be a lot of money printing in the world just to pay for the furloughing of employees and all the other sort of rescue plans. And there will have to be rescue plans, because there's, you know, otherwise we're going to lose most of the world's airlines, hotels, restaurants, and other service businesses. So there's got to be money printing to preserve parts of the economy.
Yeah, okay. And I'm just seeing here, gold, you can buy it with delivery, free delivery, or buy it for storage. But unless you trust these companies, you don't know where they're storing it, do you? So I quite like this site. It's a good, you know.
Well, this is the problem when you buy ETFs, is you are relying on whoever's written that ETF to have actually bought the underlying commodity. And what we saw with the oil ETFs in China and South Korea is they based those ETFs on the West Texas intermediary contract, and that contract suddenly turned negative, and all the ETF holders got wiped out, because what they weren't doing was rolling over the futures contracts in time. And so they got massively caught out, and all the experienced hedge funds were, shall we say, they weren't necessarily aware of this particular situation, but very aware of the danger of holding short-term contracts and getting squeezed out. And what we've seen is the mother of all squeezes in this respect, in that those contracts have been squeezed into negative territory.
Yeah, yeah. Just thinking though, if I had to buy real gold, or I think I'd go for Bitcoin. Just easier to buy, isn't it? Gold is hard work to store and hold and all that stuff. Of course, you know, with yourself there, John, you've got a lot of gold sovereign rings. That's fine. It, you know, adds to your character. every finger, isn't it? About two or three on every finger, sovereign gold rings. But yeah, there we go.
I couldn't afford it.
Marvellous, John. Thanks for that, fella. And we'll speak to you next week.
Thank you. Look forward to it.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. At five, Avacta Group, down 4.74% to 110. At four, Cobra Resources, that's COBR, up 3.4% to 3 pence. At three, Gene Drive, down 11.3% to 195. At two, Braveheart Investment Group, up 8.5%. To 44.5 pence. And at one, Tiziana Life Sciences. All the COVID plays pretty much there, apart from Cobra, I think, isn't it? Yeah, Tiziana at one, up 11.3%, 65 pence, just gone up to 13%. Okay, top five most liked RNSs are as follows. At five, Avacta Group. The results for the period ending 31st December 2019. At four, Avacta Group as well, is holdings. Modern Water Production update at three. Enkondesi at two. 5.5 CNI pipeline secured. And at one, it is Integument, doubling of production of Modern Water reagent. Of course, that's linked to Modern Water Group, MWG. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars, to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.